evening. It's good to be with you again. I welcome you with all my heart. It's nice of you to come here and get in out of the rain. Something to do. You got tired of watching the war on TV. It's over.
No more war.
Now you can come here. It's interesting to note how much you're looking for self-realization. When I say how much you're looking, I mean self-realization is nothing you look for, but you think you have to look, so you come out. And this is good. Whatever you put first in your life, that's what you achieve sooner or later. By taking the trouble to go out into the rain and driving on this mountain path to come here shows that you're interested in yourself. When I was about 16 years old, I lived in the Bronx, New York. And I used to go listen to Joel Goldsmith. Anybody hear of him? He was in Manhattan. In the middle of the winter, I had to take the train, change, and take a bus. The temperature was maybe 17 degrees. But somehow, something in my heart made me go. Because I wanted to be there. Not particularly to listen to what he had to say. Because I already knew what he had to say. But I just wanted to be in this company with like-minded people. It's the same thing here. When you go out of your way to come to satsang, especially in inclement weather, when it's hard for you to do, especially when you can be in your nice cozy home watching TV or drinking wine or whatever you do at home. You have come out of your way for a spiritual life. This means something, not to me but to yourself. It means that you're on the path. And that's all you need to do. Now, your attitude at satsang is important. What kind of an attitude do you have? What do you expect? Those who expect nothing get everything. If you expect me to say something profound, you always get disappointed. If you expect me to make a great speech, you always get disappointed. If you expect me to give a sermon, again, you will be disappointed. But if you expect nothing, then my nothing and your nothing merge. and becomes everything. So your attitude should be no attitude. You should not have any attitude, and you shouldn't expect anything. That's called empty mind. When your mind is empty, your true self automatically emerges. And you feel a great joy. You feel a great happiness, great bliss. You begin to feel awareness, joyful awareness. You just become aware, not of something. You become aware of nothing. And then nothing is consciousness. So by coming here with an empty mind, you feel pure awareness. You don't really feel it because you can't feel pure awareness. You become pure awareness. How do you become pure awareness? You become conscious of pure awareness. You can't really become anything. The personal self can never become pure awareness. The personal self can never know consciousness. When you came here with an empty mind, you gave up the personal self. Therefore, you experience pure awareness as consciousness. And that results in bliss. Bliss you can feel. Pure awareness, consciousness you cannot. But in order to feel bliss, you have to become pure awareness, which means to be aware of something, to be aware of consciousness. When you are aware of consciousness, it results in bliss. But whose consciousness are you aware of? Not yours. Because you don't exist. Consciousness exists, but you don't. Therefore, you can never say that I am experiencing pure awareness or I am experiencing consciousness. You cannot say that because I can never experience those things. Therefore, when somebody tells you, I think I'm experiencing consciousness, look at that person funny. Because I can never experience consciousness. I can never experience pure awareness. Pure awareness and consciousness just are. They're not this or that. They just exist as themselves. Now, if somebody tells you, well, in the Upanishads and the Vedas, it says, I am Brahman. So they're saying that they're Brahman. No, they're not. Now, get this and remember it all the time. They're saying, I am is Brahman. They're not saying, I, the personal I, is Brahman or consciousness. They are stating their true confession that I am is Brahman. I am is consciousness, not you. You don't exist. But I am Brahman, consciousness, pure awareness, bliss, are all synonymous. They happen at the same time. The reason we speak about these things is because of time and space. When you are the body speaking, time and space appear to exist. When time and space appear to exist, you have to use words to explain what you mean. So you say your real nature is pure awareness, aware of what? Aware of consciousness, which leads to bliss. Which is absolute reality. Yet, these words are all synonymous. They all mean the same thing. Therefore, a realized person, to make you understand that they all mean the same thing, is silent. Now can you see why silence is the ultimate teacher? As long as you use words, you confuse yourself and you confuse people. But as you become silent, like Fred, the real self becomes domineering, and the personal self rushes back into the heart. Therefore, those of you who talk too much, realize that you are the most confused. For words merely confuse. And remember again, because you believe you are the body, time and space exist for you. And in that space, in that time, you're speaking words. You have to speak them one after the other, so that somebody else who appears to be like you listens to your words, and then they react. They become happy if you said something nice, and they become angry if you said something ugly. And life goes on. So the reason we come to satsang is to understand that there is no body, there is no mind, there is only the self. The self cannot be explained by words, can only be experienced as pure being. And that being is consciousness. That consciousness is pure awareness, which is absolute reality and results in bliss. This is why you hear me say so many times that the first sign of progress on the spiritual path is when you begin to feel a profound peace within yourself. That's the bliss I'm talking about. You perhaps have not experienced it completely, but you just feel a profound peace that you never felt before. Things that used to bother you cease. People who made you angry cease making you angry. They haven't changed. You have grown. Words become meaningless. You begin to spend more time by yourself. And you become very, very happy. The question therefore arises, do you mean if I become self-realized, I have to be by myself? I have to become a hermit? On the contrary, I'm talking about mentally. For instance, there was a birthday party in my family recently, and there were about 15, 20 people there. As usual, I sit in the chair and watch. And there's all kinds of noise and dancing and everything going on. But I am an eternal peace. It makes no difference what anybody does or says. I am at peace. I do not say, I can't stand it in there, there's too much noise, and I have to go be by myself in peace. I am at peace wherever I go. You see the difference? Those of you who believe or think that you have to run away from your environment or from certain people because they drive you crazy, these people are a blessing in disguise. For they make you see yourself. What do they make you see? They make you see that you're not at peace with yourself. Do you really think that if you go to a monastery or to an ashram or to a cave, you will be at peace if you cannot be at peace at a party? Don't you see? Wherever you go, you've got to take yourself with you. And if you're not at peace where you are, if you go to a cave to live by yourself, you'd go insane. Your mind would drive you out of your mind. Which is good. The world is your laboratory where you practice on yourself. Do not try to escape from the world. Do not try to change things. But watch yourself. See what you're all about. Watch the things that upset you. Watch how many words you use during the day. How you talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Watch how you react to what people say. How many of you react to your TV? You watch a program, you laugh if it's funny, you cry if it's sad. You get angry if they do what you don't like. You're not in control of yourself. The TV controls you. I know a person who turns on the TV as soon as they get out of bed, and they turn it off again about 12 o'clock at night when they go to sleep. They can't stand to be alone without somebody telling them something. Because when they're by themselves, without a TV or without a radio, their mind drives them crazy. All sorts of thoughts pop up. So to escape, they watch the TV. And then before they turn off the TV, they're already thinking, what am I going to do now? So they go to a movie. Before the movie is over, they're thinking, what am I going to do after the movie is over? They go bowling. They've got to be doing something all the time. They cannot be alone. Because their thoughts confound them. You have to examine yourself. You have to see where you are. You have to begin to understand you are not a doer. And become still and relaxed and peaceful with yourself. The way you become peaceful is by realizing I am not the doer. I didn't ask to be born the way I am. I didn't ask to be born of certain parents in a certain country at a certain time. I didn't ask to be born into an impoverished family or into a wealthy family or into a spiritual family or into a nativist family or into a family of agnostics. You didn't ask for that. Yet you find yourself in that particular family. If you're fortunate enough, when you get to the age of reason, you begin to question, how did I get here? What am I doing in this environment? Who put me here? What is my purpose? As you sincerely ask yourself these questions, the answers will be revealed to you. And you will begin to understand everything was predetermined, preordained. If you're fortunate enough to come under the tutelage of a guru or a yani, it will be explained to you that you may appear to think that you were born in this particular family under these circumstances, but in reality that's not you. You are not that. You are boundless. You are free. You are of the unborn. You have always been, and you will always be. That is your true nature. Can you imagine learning these things when you're young? Having this type of understanding? That even though I may appear to be a body, even though I may appear to be doing something, in reality I am doing nothing and I am not the body. And if you're not the body and you're doing nothing, then who's doing the work? And the answer is, no one. There was no one ever born. There is no one who subsists. And there is no one who disappears. And you are that no one. Now, as I share this with you, what do you personally think you are? The first mistake you make is to believe that you are the personal I. Identification with the body. That's your first mistake. The second mistake is that your mind identifies with the world. And the third mistake is that your mind and body reacts to your environment. We therefore begin with the body. You say to yourself, I exist. There's no doubt about this. I exist. But who is this I that exists? It's the personal I. Yet when I go to sleep, I am not aware of that I. But yet I still exist. Even though I am asleep. And when I'm dreaming, I dream about all kinds of things. Yet I say, I dreamt. I is always persisting itself to remind you that you are I. and you keep identifying with I most of your life. When you begin to question, you begin to question your own existence. How can I exist the way I am? For when I was a baby, I existed as a completely different body. As a teenager, I also existed, but I was different than I am today. And look at me today, I exist as I am today. But I always seems to be present. Therefore, who am I? Who am I really? And the questioning begins. You have shown yourself that you are not your body because you've been different at different times of your life. You've appeared different. So you cannot be the body that seems to appear one way at one time and a different way at different times. Am I my mind? How can I be my mind? My mind is only a conglomeration of thoughts. Thoughts of the past and thoughts of the future. So I can't be my mind. Therefore, what am I? If you ask sincerely, something will tell you within yourself that if you get to the source of the I, all your problems will be over. So you start thinking about the source. As you think about the source, you think of nothing, because the source of the I is no thing. And you begin to see that the I that's been confronting you all these years has to have a source. And the source is no thing. If the source is no thing, how can there be an I? Now you begin to wake up. And you laugh at yourself. You finally realize, I don't exist. I never have existed. I don't exist as consciousness. I don't exist as pure awareness. I just don't exist. But the source is omnipresence, is ultimate oneness. Then you can say, I am the source. Because at that time you will realize when you say I am, you're not referring to your body anymore. You're not referring to your mind. You're referring to God, to pure awareness, to consciousness, to absolute reality. At that state, you do not even think of those words. For as I mentioned before, those words only exist in time and in space. And in your realization, you understand that there's no time and no space. So there are no words. There's only the source, and you become free and liberated. Now, I know some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. So let's ask some questions.
Okay, so Robert, is there an almighty God, a knowing God?
Aside from you?
An almighty, all-knowing God.
Beside yourself?
No, that's not what I'm asking. I don't want to relate myself to God. I'm asking you, is there an almighty, all-knowing God?
What do you think you are?
I'm very limited.
Then there's a God for you.
No, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you if there is a God, an almighty, all-knowing God. Forget me. I'm asking you.
As long as you believe that you're limited, there is.
I'm asking you, it's for you, an almighty, all-knowing God. Not for me. Forget me.
Why should it be one for me and not for you?
Well, it could be. I don't know.
Then there are two gods, or three gods, or four gods.
Well, maybe I don't know of them. And you do.
I don't know of any God.
You don't?
No.
Okay, so then all this teaching I have received is all baloney.
Sure. It's all baloney. Now what?
Well, I just wondered, if that is,
That's why I say words are all baloney.
Mm-hmm.
The more you talk, the less you know. If you can become still and go into the silence and ask sincerely, who am I? Then you'll know who God is. It makes no difference what I think.
So there is no all-knowingness, all-pervasiveness.
I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not there.
What's the difference what I think? Or what I know?
No,
what good does it do you?
I'm just trying to see what you would...
find out for yourself.
Well, I have been trying, but I couldn't find anything in that sense.
Try harder.
I've heard of people who claim they know a lot more than I do, There's people I've been in contact with, which they taught me, They have merged with who knows,
Well, when somebody tells you that, be careful. How can I merge with anything? There would have to be two of me. A merger and a mergee. There's no one to merge.
But how do you then explain that the intelligence is nature? Is in my opinion, nature is intelligence.
You don't explain intelligence; you become intelligence.
Yeah, but if you are intelligent, you're supposed to be able to demonstrate the intelligence.
So. How do you demonstrate it? By talking?
No, by able, let's say if I was nature, I'd be able to create flowers, trees, whatever. Right?
How do you know you don't?
Well, I know I'm not able to create.
Who knows?
I do, as I'm sitting
That's
here.
That's the answer. Who's the I? What I are you talking about? You're talking about a personal I.
Uh-huh.
And a personal I can never know anything, except the world as it looks.
Okay.
So the whole idea is to transcend the personal I, and you wouldn't have that question.
But you seem to say that if you are in the awareness of the I, the higher I, you know, or the what you call it, the I am presence or whatever, you are just in silence. There is no knowing involved.
Mm.
Is that so?
That's so.
Yeah?
Silence.
Silence.
Mm.
And silence creates intelligence.
No. Silence doesn't create anything.
Doesn't create anything.
Because nothing exists but silence. Silence is synonymous with the self, with consciousness, with pure awareness. They're the same thing. You see the difference? Silence doesn't create it. Silence is that.
Right. I understand that. But it's still, when it goes into pure awareness, awareness meaning to be aware of everything.
To be aware of consciousness.
What?
To be aware of consciousness.
Yeah, but that would imply that you're aware of, like, all-knowing, you know, aware of everything, if you're pure awareness.
What do you mean by everything?
Like I say, all-knowing represents to me pure awareness.
You're referring to knowing about material things.
No, not just that. Everything, from the highest to the lowest, the whole scope.
But there's no highest and there's no lowest.
Okay, I just meant that in a sense that there is multiple differences, multiple the diversity in oneness, let's say.
There's not at all. There's only oneness and there's no diversity.
But there is unity and then there is diversity. We have many things in the universe.
To you. That's how it appears to you. That's your precept.
Okay.
That's your opinion. That's how you see it.
Okay, so, but then you're saying that when you are in pure awareness, you do not know anything.
You are nothing. As far as this material world is concerned. When you're nothing, you're everything.
Okay.
I know what you're referring to. You're still interested in cities, powers.
No, I'm just referring to the biblical God or the religious God, you know. The most religions believe in a God who knows all, right?
But what do you care what most religions believe? What do you believe?
Well, I don't know.
Find out.
I'm guessing.
Question. Question yourself. Find out.
Well, that's what I've been trying to, but I can't find my answer to it.
Go deeper.
Yeah.
That's all you've got to do. Ask yourself, who doubts? Find out. And get rid of that person. Then you'll be free. Feel free to ask anything or say something. Throw a pie in my face. Do whatever you like.
Robert? I don't know if this is just something I want to say or also just maybe see what you think about it. And that is, I'm beginning to think that this state is... And it's now I recall I've heard it before. It's really, the problem is it's beyond our senses. It's beyond seeing, feeling, touching, hearing.
Indeed.
And so it's like, it's a whole other thing. I can't perceive it in any of the ways I'm accustomed to perceiving it.
Exactly.
Or explain, and I'm also, my explanations of things are also limited because they're all done in terms of those senses.
Exactly.
And so this state is beyond that.
Exactly. That's why you have to go into the silence where you're not disturbed by words and people and things. And go deep within the silence, and then you experience the bliss of the silence, and you become free. Beyond things. Words cannot describe it.
How old were you when this happened to you?
What happened to me?
That you went to this state.
You sound like it's a catastrophe. And I was 14.
You were 14?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you got family and everything?
Yes. Crying, people are moaning. It's not that bad, you know. Children closer?
Yes.
Definitely. Because they were recently born and they haven't been brainwashed by the world yet. Just like animals. So they're much closer to themselves than grown-ups are. Grown-ups become opinionated and brainwashed. And brain dead.
That's true.
That's why we have wars of man and humanity to man. Can you imagine fighting over a piece of land? It's ludicrous. Or fighting over anything. Yet this is the way of the world. Children in the natural state do not really fight until they learn from grown-ups. So become as a little child. What this injunction means is to see the world with awe, fresh and new. See everything as a miracle. And wonder where it all came from. Again, if you sincerely inquire, where did the world come from? Where did the trees come from? Where did the animals come from? Where did the insects come from? If you ask the question deeper than yourself, the answer will come. That's all a projection of your own mind. It comes out of you just like a dream does. when that answer comes to you, you will be happy. You will be at peace.
But then you say it doesn't exist.
It doesn't.
The world something that doesn't exist make us happy.
No, the happiness doesn't come from that. When you look at the world with awe, and you see the miracle of creation,
that's easy.
And you inquire, where did this come from? How did it get here? If you are sincere enough, the answer will come through you. Then everything came out of your mind is a projection of your mind. And the answer makes you happy to know.
But if somebody dies, the mind is gone, the body is still going to be here.
If somebody dies?
Yeah.
The mind is gone,
the body corpse is going to remain here, whether you're here or not.
That's how you see it.
No, everybody sees the corpse.
Everybody who thinks the same way sees the corpse.
Yeah. So that's something that...
What does that mean?
...isn't attached to the mind. The mind, the corpse is not a product of the mind then, when the mind is gone.
The mind doesn't go anywhere.
When you die, what happens?
You don't die. Nobody dies.
Yeah, but you become... What is the process of dying? You simply become unconscious, like you fall asleep, or what is it?
You're thinking that you die, but you don't die. When you are awake, you watch everything like a movie. Nobody dies.
Okay, the life energy leaves the body. Isn't that a fact?
No, it's on the relative plane.
One?
It's on the relative plane only. That's how it appears. And as long as you believe you are the body-mind, that's true.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I say that the body is separate from the mind. It appears to be, because if a man dies, the body is still here, but it's a dead corpse.
That's how it appears. But to whom does it appear that way?
To everybody who sees
no.
the corpse.
To the person?
No, the person is gone. He's no longer here.
It appears, no, you're still a person.
Pardon?
You're still a person. As long as you believe you're the body,
you're going nowhere. No, the person is dead. He's gone. He's maybe in heaven, or who knows where the person
so
is.
So how can he be dead?
Huh?
If he goes to heaven, how can he be dead?
He's no longer in the body.
So you're
the
person
still is in the body, is still alive.
So you've gone to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've left your body.
Right. The body is dead here. Just a corpse.
And you've left it and gone to heaven.
Pardon?
You've left your body and you've gone to heaven.
Yeah.
And the corpse is lying on the floor.
Right.
Dead.
Right.
Says who?
Well, everybody knows that. That the corpse, no, the corpse is a corpse. It starts rotting immediately when the life energy leaves.
That's how it appears, just like everything else in the world.
So why does it start rotting?
To whom does it rot? Who sees it like that? It's just like you're saying, why is the lamp on? Why is the room blue? Why is the sky blue? Why does everything exist the way it appears to exist? Who's doing the seeing?
Because there's intelligence involved in that.
But who's doing the looking? Who's doing the seeing?
Everybody his own way.
Forget about everybody. Talk about yourself. As long as you see these things, you have to ask yourself, who sees? And you'll realize that your ego sees all these things. All these things happen to you at an ego level. But if you go beyond the ego, it doesn't exist.
You're saying nothing exists then?
Nothing as you know it. See, all the things you're telling me is coming from the point of view that you're at now.
Right.
The state that you're in.
Right.
But there are other states
Tell me, Robert, how do you see if somebody dies? What do you see? What is happening?
I see through it.
Okay, but what actually do you see? What happens?
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Nothing
there
happens.
Must be something happening, otherwise you wouldn't have a dead corpse here.
Look at it this way. When you see a reflection in a mirror, what happens? Does the mirror suffer from the reflection? Does the mirror see the reflection?
No.
The mirror remains the mirror, but the reflection appears to be in the mirror.
Yeah.
But the reflection always changes.
What do you think could happen? What happens to an ordinary person who dies a normal death in bed, let's say? What kind of drama or what kind of experience do they go through?
But you're talking about them. Speak about yourself.
I've not died yet. I don't know.
So you're saying, in other words, when you die, what am I going to go through?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
You'll go through whatever you're going through now.
Huh?
If you stay the way you are, you will go through...
I'm asking you for the process. What is death?
But there's no process because there's no death. But as long as
what is happening when I fall asleep?
You dream. You sleep. You wake up.
Okay, is that the same experience as falling asleep?
There's no going to sleep when you die.
Well, what is the difference between falling asleep and death?
Falling asleep is when you're still conscious.
No, if I fall asleep, I don't know nothing. Nobody is here. If I was asleep right now, I do not know what's going on.
But your real self is conscious. What you really are is always conscious.
Yeah.
It's consciousness.
Okay. So, but you still don't. My question is, if you could explain to me what's happening when you die? Is it just falling asleep?
Or I'm trying to tell you, nothing happens.
Nothing happens. There's a
you want something
some kind
to happen.
Of process is happening there.
It's happening to you as long as you believe what you believe. So you'll go through a process. You'll appear to leave your body. You'll go to the astral plane, take a rest or a vacation. Then you'll go back into another body. And it will continue forever. Because that's what you believe now.
No, not necessarily. I grew up as a Catholic, so I have no experience of reincarnation, you know.
So what experience do you have as a Catholic?
None, except their teachings.
As you believe, it is done unto you. So whatever you believe now, that's what happens. To you. Forget about others. Do not think of other people, think of yourself. That's the whole point. Whatever you believe about yourself now, that's what happens to you when you die. In other words, if you believe you go to heaven or hell, that's what you'll do. But all is a reflection of your mind. You're creating all those states. Therefore, find out who is doing all this. To whom does this belief come? Find out. And be done with it. Then you'll be free. Do you see what I mean? The mistake you're making is you want to bring everybody into the picture. There are no others. Whenever you want an answer to a question, it's between you and the questioner. You and yourself. So ask yourself, where do I go after death? Who wants to know? I do. Who am I? Who am I? And when you find out who I is, all your questions will be answered. But it's always between you and yourself. Never mind the other people.
I know people who have been listening to teachings like this for 50 or 60 years. And yet they stand in a room and they can have an angry outburst in front of other people towards someone. They can vent their anger, say unkind things, be hostile, and think that they're right. And then after doing that, they can sit in the room, they can glare at people and give them hateful looks. And they think that they're self-realized. Can you comment on that?
Well, of course, people like that are growing and they're trying, and one day they will awaken. So what's to say? We must learn to have compassion for everybody. Nobody
to be angry and not know that you're angry is to be deluded.
Well, nobody is stupid. Somebody who's angry will one day ask the question, who's angry? And they will begin the path.
That's right. Then it begins.
But what matters is, what do you see?
I already know that.
If you feel the anger, then you have to work on yourself.
I understand. But until they've seen it, they haven't even got on the path yet. And they think they're already at the end.
Well, forget about them. Leave them all alone.
I'm just trying to help them out right now.
That's okay. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
That's how you help. Can you see that?
I understand.
When you become yourself, you're omnipresent. And your vibrations go into everything.
I understand.
So do you feel one with me? There's no me. There's no me. Practically. There's only you.
There's not me and there's not you.
Okay.
And I can't pick you out and say I can't pick you out and say I feel one with you.
Huh?
I can't pick you out and say I feel one with you. I feel one. Period.
Yeah, but if you feel one, then you don't give a damn about me.
Oh yes, you do.
Because I give a damn about me, I give a damn about you, because there's only one. I am you.
It appears to me like that, you know, it is. You're too self-centered, you know. You don't know nothing about what's your business, you know. How you feel doesn't really, it's not none of my business, right?
Well, you think I'm a separate self like you believe you are.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh.
That's the reality to me.
Is that true? You question
well,
it.
Well, according to Robert, no. But according to me, yes. You know.
Well, you can question it. Sometime you will.
Yeah, maybe.
Be gentle with yourself. And watch the things you say.
But can you be practical in that sense?
Of course.
Yeah?
Of course.
Because, like, how free are you, really, in that state?
Totally free.
Totally free?
Sure.
But you still have to maintain your separate existence, like as we talk to each other.
That's how it appears.
Yeah. And also you cannot express yourself in a way that there is oneness, that I feel, that, let's say, you couldn't express yourself to me that I feel, oh, there is no separation. As two persons speaking to each other, I mean.
I can only be myself. and you can only be with yourself.
That's what I mean. This is the illusion, the dilemma of humanity, that we cannot see oneness in each other. We say, I'm just myself. I have nothing to do with the rest of the people.
On the contrary, because if you remember, when I say I am myself, I'm not speaking of Robert. I'm speaking of the self of the universe.
Mean. That's what I mean. Can you, as not as Robert, can you feel oneness? That you express.
I don't have to feel oneness. Oneness already exists.
No, I mean that you express it to the individual. That the individual will feel oneness with the Almighty Oneness.
It's like asking for God's grace.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
God's grace is always present.
Okay.
But it's a mature person that can feel it.
It's only the mature person.
That can feel it.
I was just recently reading a book of Clear Prophet, you know, Elizabeth Clear Prophet, and she says the prayer only works if you have a decree, meaning demand to God to manifest His grace.
So what can I say?
I don't know. You know.
Everybody says all kinds of things.
I like what Ramakrishna said. The grace of God is always blowing. You have to unfurl it, your sails.
That's good.
A few years ago, my oldest son had a profound spiritual experience. He was with a large group of people that were in the presence of a master. And he said he really couldn't explain it to me. He said that words don't explain it. But he felt the oneness of everything. And he said that people looked at him after that experience as though he were different, as though he was special, as though he was something really different had happened to him. And what he experienced, as near as he could tell me, was that he could see them, and he felt that they were looking at themselves when they saw him. And he kept he kept telling them, don't you know you're seeing yourself? And then after that he said, Mom, it's so easy, it's right there, it's just right there. Could you comment upon that?
Yes, that's the example I gave of the mirror. Look at me as a mirror, and when you look at the mirror you see yourself. You see a reflection. But that doesn't change the mirror. I see a reflection superimposed on myself. But I realize I am the mirror and not the superimposition. Therefore, the whole world is a superimposition on the self. And when people become the self, there's only one self. And superimpositions are reflections of that self. But your son realizes that he is the mirror. And everything else is a reflection that comes and goes. But he never changes. The whole universe is that self. And he is that. Do you follow that? Is that clear?
Yes, very clear. He wasn't able to retain that state. He tried very hard for quite some time. trying to keep that state, but it was very difficult for him in the world to retain it. But he's been trying to get the state again since.
He had a glimpse of reality.
Yes, he did.
That's good.
Why would it go away or become dimmer? Like
because it wasn't fully developed.
What is suggested to fully develop that kind of state?
To go deeper within and to be able to see that you are consciousness. By keeping silence.
I do remember him telling me that he did want to stay quiet. He wanted to stay silent. But that was very difficult, to stay in the silence.
If he would ask himself continuously, to whom does the world come? Who's experiencing the noisy world? And follow the eye to the source, he would become totally free.
Would you explain again your and the Master Maharshi's teaching as to the explanation of what the self is?
What the self is? You want to know what the self is? Now what is the self? The self is the self when everything else is removed. When the world is removed, when the thoughts are removed, when the mind is removed, when the universe is removed, then the self is left over.
So the self is both everything and nothing.
The self, everything is the self, and everything is nothing.
Seem to make much sense.
That's good.
Not supposed to.
You're making progress.
Thank you, Robert. It's the sweetest thing I've ever said.
If it made sense, then you'd be in trouble.
So, in that I am condition, is there no experience whatsoever?
For whom is there an experience? The experiencer has been eliminated.
Yeah. Is that the continual state of your day? What is your day like? What's going on inside?
My day is like everybody else's day.
But how can... That's a trap. I knew it should have been.
There's nothing special about me.
Except that you're awake and we're not. Or we don't think we are.
Well, to me, that's just natural.
That you have experiences, but there's no experience.
What kind of experiences do I have?
Well, I'm thinking about your day.
I just go through the day spontaneously.
Excuse me?
I go through the day spontaneously, doing whatever has to be done at that moment.
But you do not experience it.
I'm not a doer. I watch myself doing, but I realize I'm not a doer.
Is that all there is to it?
That's it. Simple. What do you want?
That's really all there is to it, is understanding that and then realizing that, I want to say life is beautiful. But if it doesn't exist, why is there even an adjective?
You become spontaneous. And the adjective is consciousness. You realize yourself as consciousness, like the screen, and you enjoy watching all the pictures on the screen, but you understand that you're the screen.
So if a person is going through this alleged life, enjoying everything, and not reacting, but simply being spontaneous, then that's all there is to it?
That's it.
But there's a... Besides knowing that, besides even living that, there's still an experience.
For whom?
Well, like the experience that her son had. Probably most everybody here sees everyone else here as themselves.
Again... never mind everybody else. Speak only about yourself.
Well, I'm not sounding... It sounds egotistical.
It has to be. Because if you know you're egotistical, that's how you get rid of the ego. By knowing you're an ego first. So that's a good point.
What are we all lacking?
Nothing.
We're lacking an experience.
No, we're not. See, that's your point of view.
Then we are exactly where you are.
Of course.
If we live in beauty and love, we are where you are.
Forget about living in beauty and love.
No. If you throw out the beauty and love, then you live.
We're living the miracle, then. As you said, everything is a miracle.
And you ask yourself, to whom does it come? To whom does the miracle come?
To nobody.
That's right. So you're nobody. Nobody. You're just nobody. You have no body. Now you've got it. If you truly wish to repent, just sit in a silent meditation and see the perfect reality within. For all manners of evil merely arise in erroneous thought.